the power of knowledge.
Your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Friday, May the 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2015. It is free for all Friday, meaning, you know, wherever the winds take us is the topic of up for discussion. In order for you to participate and to suggest a topic, you might want to pick up the phone or whatever you use to make old-fashioned phone calls with. Toll free 603-835-3224. That's the number. Number you can always call between 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Speaking of which, we will not be here on Monday, which is May 25th, which is Memorial Day observed day. So we will be taking now. I know a lot of people are probably, well, geez, what's he going to do during the holidays? Now, as I have always done, the show's gone dark on holidays. Let me give you a breakdown of what's going to happen. July 4th, Independence Day. I like to, you know, it's a holiday as far as I'm concerned. But it's a Saturday. So we'll be here. We don't take, you know, the non-holiday. Oh, you're going to take off the third? No. But it is summertime. And it is time for, I will be on a speaking tour. So I'll be, as I said, I'll be speaking probably in a town near you if you're east of the Mississippi pretty soon. So there will be nights that I'll be coming live from a strange place, or there might be a guest host here, or it might be a best of program simply because I'm out there talking. Not talking, but speaking live. You know, that's a good thing. But as we get into the season, there aren't any other holidays that we really have to worry about between now and Labor Day. Now, I do believe that Labor Day is Monday. Let's look at the calendar here. Let's pull it up. Monday, September 7th. Well, if that's Labor Day, won't be here. Won't be a show. It's because you get out there and enjoy your freedom and be with your family. And you probably say, well, what about any other? What about Halloween? All Hallows Eve. Now, however, when it comes to Thanksgiving, we will be dark. There will be a bus. We'll be dark for, well, it won't be dark for a week. But here's the plan for that time frame. It is planned that we will have three best of shows, Monday through Wednesday. And that Thursday and Friday will most likely be dark because everybody's going to be with their families. Who's going to be, you know, you shouldn't be spending time listening to the radio. There isn't really much happening on Thanksgiving Friday, if you will. And of course, Christmas. Well, for Christmas, you know, it's kind of like we're on school vacation. We take from Christmas Eve off. In other words, December 23rd. We go right up to December 23rd. And we don't come back until that first Monday after New Year's. So in this particular case, New Year's Day is on a Friday. So we'll be back Monday, January the 4th, 2016. So we'll be off between, once we get off the air on Wednesday, December 23rd, going all the way then. So I'm just giving you a heads up of what's happening up to that point. Now, I know some people are saying, well, you should just have, you know, you shouldn't do that, Rod. You should probably like have, you know, like best of shows. And yeah, there will probably be a bunch of best of shows being played. Because, you know, one of the things that I've always found kind of annoying when you're tuning into some of the big guys is that they have the guest hosts. Now, the guest hosts have families. They have places they'd like to be, too. And I fully understand it's the whole lure. Hey, Rod, but let me tell you something. If Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity said, you know, can you be live? Do a live show on December 24th and 25th. I'd say, you know what? It'd be an awesome opportunity, but nobody's going to be listening anyway, so no. And, but, you know, but they don't, I'm just using them as an example. They don't do that anyway. They have best of shows that they're playing because they can't have dead air on terrestrial radio. It's not the same as digital radio. Digital radio gives you a little bit more flexibility, if you will. Speaking of flexibility, I don't know. You know, I'm getting kind of fed up with the NFL. I really, this whole Deflategate thing has just gotten way, 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 way out of hand. And, you know, I don't care. Look, I don't care how good Tom Brady is, or I don't care how good Tom Brady thinks he is. I don't care how good, you know, the Patriots are or have been, or they think that whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm not a Patriot fan. I'm not that much of a Brady fan. I mean, he's a great quarterback. I don't care what else is out there. You know, you can't, it's not like he's, you can't put a, you know, foreign substances on a football and make, because, you know, like a spitball or something in baseball. I mean, come on. This is just getting redonkulous. People need to get over this. Did he cheat? Look, that's what penalties are for. Look, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I could care less what the Pats do. But, you know, hey, what he's doing hurts the game of football, Rod. It hurts all of football. Well, I think the NFL has hurt the game of football all on their own. They didn't need players. Look, they're handing out a suspension of 4 days for Tom Brady, but they were handing out suspension of what, 2 days? For a known wife beater, domestic violence person, and it's not, he's not the only one. Come on, you're gonna tell me that a slightly underinflated football is more important than domestic violence? No, not at all. And this whole notion that Goodell is taking this stance, it's simply because of the Kraft and Belichick and Brady are probably three of the most disliked people in the NFL. Why? Because they win too much. That's why. If this were the Patriots of the 80s and early 90s that didn't win an awful lot, nobody would care. Nobody would dislike Tom Brady. You know, if he wasn't so good and his stats weren't so what they were, nobody would dislike Tom Brady. If Tom Brady wasn't married to Giselle, but married to an average, you know, everyday housewife-looking type of NFL wife, nobody would hate Tom Brady. That's the truth. It really is. Nobody would hate Tom Brady. If he was an average NFL QB on an average NFL team with an average NFL owner and coach, the Pats wouldn't be hated, Kraft wouldn't be hated, and Brady wouldn't be hated, and Belichick wouldn't be hated. Plain and simple. And this is, it's gotten out of hand. And me speaking as not being a Brady fan or a Patriots fan, even though I'm here in New England country, I don't care. No, look, I don't really follow professional baseball, but when I did, I was a Yankees fan. I tell people that, and they go, how could you? Like, because I like the Yankees. Well, man, this is Red Sox country. Yeah, Red Sox sucks. Who cares? It's just a freaking game. And if somebody thinks that they want to literally punch me, I'm going to beat them over the head with a bat. It's just a freaking game, folks. It's entertainment. I don't know why people take this all so serious. This is like life, Rod. No, it is nothing like life. Hey, for crying out loud. You're more worried about Tom Brady and whether or not he slightly deflated a few footballs. But, you know, the real stuff that really counts, like serious politics and what's going on in the Middle East and the taxes that are being taken out of your pocket every day, that's not real life to you, is it? What Tom Brady can and cannot do, or whether or not he's suspended for 4, 5, 1 whole season, doesn't matter. You're all up in arms about it. Hey, come on. It's a freaking game. One that I enjoy watching, one that I thoroughly enjoyed playing back in my day. But that's just, it's a game. I played a game. I mean, I know there's a lot of money involved in professional sports, but it's still a freaking game. You people need to get over this stuff, and you need to get over it fast. There's a lot more important stuff to worry about and be concerned about and have long hours worth of discussions over other than Deflategate. So, if I were Brady, you know, Brady's probably, you know, arguably one of the biggest draws in the NFL. If I were Brady, I'd just say, you know what? My legacy's set. I've already made $1 gazillion. I have a beautiful wife and a beautiful family and a beautiful home out in California. I quit. Go screw yourselves. After all of this kind of attention, I would. I'm done. I've got 3 or 4 Super Bowl rings. You know, I've got a bunch of endorsements. I got this. I got that. I got money up the wall. I don't need this anymore. I'm 38, 39 years old. I'm past my prime anyway. I'm done. Bye. Let it go at that. Well, if he does that, he'll never make it to the Hall of Fame. Ah, who the freak cares about the Hall of Fame? Really, it's another political crapshoot anyway. Hey, if you're not gonna be measured by your on court or on field antics, then screw the Hall of Fame. It's kind of like the same thing with Pete Rose. Well, Pete Rose, man, he just took away. Pete Rose didn't take away from the game at all. He was one of the best players that ever played baseball, but he's never going to be in the Hall of Fame because he admitted to gambling off the field and never on his own team. So, screw the Hall of Fame. There's more important things to talk about. Yeah, so, well, hey, Rod, geez, why don't you tell us how you really feel? Well, and the only reason I'm bringing it up now is because it's Free for All Friday, so we can just talk about anything. But here's something for you. Speaking of NFL, remember that guy by the name of Michael Sam? Yeah, that Michael Sam, the gay footballer. You know, the one that came out of the closet because he thought coming out of the closet would give him a better chance of signing on to an NFL team because evidently, even though in college he was, you know, all that, in the NFL, they didn't think of him as being all that, whether he was gay or straight. He wasn't all that. He was a college level, sure, but he wasn't NFL a level all that, I guess. I didn't care either way. All I cared about is, you know, hey, can Michael Sam play football? And the people who should know about this kind of stuff, who only care about winning games, because, you know, there's a lot of money involved. You know, obviously, they're willing to give themselves any kind of advantage they can, like slightly deflating a football. Do you think they're really going to care if the guy can play football better than anybody else in that particular position that he wants to play? They're going to care if he, you know, what his sexual positional preference is? Of course not. That's how asinine that was. Because the more games they win, the more money they make. And if Michael Sam could help them make more money, they're going to put his gay butt on the field. Plain and simple. And they tried, and he didn't make the cut. So, but he's back. The last time I heard, he was like, he engaged his little. I was told exactly what his boyfriend was, and it was it was some Twinkie. That's it. They call him a Twinkie. Okay. So some of you out there under the sound of my voice know exactly what I'm talking about. So great, then you know exactly what I'm. Don't even try to figure that one out. I'm not going there. But in any case, I guess was it last year, 2 years ago, he proposed and they were engaged or something. I don't know. I don't follow these guys personally. They just try to throw it in your face so you kind of remember, but then you kind of like it. Whatever, doesn't mean anything. Got more important things to worry about. But now he's back. Yes, Michael Sam is back. And it looks like he's going to be able to play professional football after all. Now, I don't know what he's been doing the past 2 years. If you come out of college, you're not supposed to have any money. And if you don't get hooked up with a pro team, you don't have any money. What was he doing all this time? I don't know. I'm just curious. But evidently there is no more interest in the NFL for Michael Sam. So he's going to become a Canadian. Well, not really a Canadian citizen, but evidently according to Yahoo Sports, he's going to go play in the CFL. The Canadian Football League wasn't defensive end Michael Sam's first choice, but it's his best one right now as he tries to establish a professional career. So he signed with the Montreal Alouettes. What? That's the name of a football team? Alouettes. Alouettes. Alouette, Jante, Alouette. I guess that's probably not it. But the team made the announcement earlier today. It's a one-year deal with an option for 2016. Now, Sam, the former co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year at Missouri, was the first openly gay player to be drafted by the NFL when the St. Louis Rams took him in the seventh round in 2014. Despite a productive preseason, the Rams cut him before the regular season started, and the Cowboys added Sam to their practice squad, but cut him before the regular season was done. That was Sam's last NFL job. Maybe a good season in the NFL will generate some interest from NFL teams if that's his goal. That doesn't usually happen. It's rare for a player to come from the CFL into the NFL. It doesn't happen a lot. It's kind of like, you know, it's rare for the NBA to take a player from the European Professional Basketball League. Europe has a professional basketball league. But it's rare for a player to come from that into the NBA. It doesn't happen a lot. It's not impossible. It does happen, but it doesn't happen a lot. And the CFL has gotten pretty smart with that kind of stuff, too. Remember Doug Flutie? Yeah, he had a tough time breaking into the NFL. You know, he was a great college quarterback, but had a hard time in trying to break into the NFL. So he went and played a few years in the CFL. And the NFL said, hey, you know, he's actually not too bad. So they tried to bring him back to the NFL, but the CFL wasn't letting him go. They're getting pretty smart about this stuff. The same thing with, you know, when you're talking professional basketball, I had a cousin who played professional basketball. For the Swedish national team. And there was a point in his career where New Jersey was interested in signing him. The problem is that the European League, the Swedes, they weren't releasing him from his contract. They weren't letting him go. So he had to finish his career in Sweden, never having been able to play, even though they wanted him to, could not play in the NBA. They're getting smart about this stuff. They don't want to be looked at anymore as the minor leagues. You know, they don't want to have all their star players, you know, robbed to go play, you know, in USA professional sport. So if he gets locked up there in the CFL, he's going to play probably almost his entire professional career in the CFL. That's just the way it's going to be. It's because it's rare for them to be noticed, to be brought down. And even when they do, it took Flutie a couple of years to be able to break free of the CFL to come play in the NFL again. So, it's not going to be all that easy. And he's got a long road to hoe, but I don't know. Evidently, they're not caring much about, Michael Sam's little boyfriend. I don't know. It could be husband by now. I don't know. Yeah, I know it sounds really strange and weird, but let's face it, folks. That's where we are. That is where we are with society today. I mean, it's. You know, look, I don't care what Sam does in his private life, in his bedroom. That's his business. That really is. I don't give, two flying, what about that. All I care about is if I'm going to watch football, can the guy play football? Can he play his position well? That's all that counts to me. You know, if you're a congressman, I don't care, as long as you're not, touching underage kids, I don't care what you like to do in your off time. I'm not interested. This whole notion that we're supposed to know every little detail about our candidates is a bunch of bunk. I do not care what they do in their private life. Now, if they're being hypocritical, that's different. But other than that, does it really matter if a Republican senator likes to get it on with young men? I don't care. But the only time it becomes relevant and makes any sense is if this senator is also trying to pass legislation and bills that make it illegal for people to do what he's doing. And that to me makes no sense, but that's very hypocritical. But that's the only time where the personal stuff comes into play. Otherwise, why would you even care? Because it's everybody has got this celebrity crap. They want to know everybody else's business. They want to get in everybody's personal business. Well, it's none of your business. This is why a lot of good qualified people will not enter politics. No, I know Michael Sam is the one that opened the Pandora's box and that. He's the one that invited everybody into his bedroom. I get that. But beyond that, most people do not. They do not want people to get into their closet and into their bedroom and into their kitchen and all that kind of stuff. They don't invite people in. They just barge their way in. So this is why a lot of good, strong candidates don't enter politics, or at least they only go so far. They don't enter the national or even the state leagues. I mean, it takes a special person to really want to do that. And oftentimes they're not the best. But just saying. So, yeah, it is what it is, folks, and it ain't what it ain't, and it probably isn't what it should be. But can we even watch Canadian football over here? We don't get Canadian stations anymore on cable like we used to. I remember we used to get a Canadian station. We don't get that. I mean, maybe ESPN will be running some special programs or special CFL football season stuff. We'll have to see. Michael Sam, it'd be interesting to see if he can actually play up there. I'm sure ESPN 2 or 3 will probably have it.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Listening to The Rod Eggles Show.
Well, people are sad. they're sad. Yeah, last night was it for a taping of the David Letterman show with obviously David Letterman. That was it. Goodbye for you know, kind of like a Johnny Carson exit. But the problem, I guess, the problem with the Letterman show is, yeah, you know, Dave is so cool. Dave is so smart. Dave is so funny. Yo, you're so funny. Dave Letterman's so funny. He funny man. And I'm sure somebody's probably going to try to rap me for just doing that one. But, you know, I'm so funny. I'm so funny, too. CBS didn't waste any time in getting rid of the legacy of that is whatever legacy there is of David Letterman. Yesterday CBS throws the Letterman set into the dumpster. I mean, they chopped it up and kicked it out the door and threw it away. People were scrambling yesterday and today to try to get keepsake pieces of the set. And there are people that think, oh, no, they can't do that. I mean, this set should be in the Smithsonian. Really? The set should be in the Smithsonian. Well, there are people who really think that. Now, CBS wasted. This is from the New York Post, by the way. I guess CBS isn't going to really say it themselves on CBS. Yeah, we threw away David Letterman's set. CBS wasted no time in kicking David Letterman's set to the curb. His sentimental fans gathered outside the Ed Sullivan Theater on Thursday to watch as stagehands unceremoniously crushed and sawed through iconic pieces of the Late Show. The Late Show backdrop. The day after the final show, people are standing outside saying, I can't believe they're just demolishing the whole thing. Now, why not? What are they supposed to do with it? Are they supposed to enshrine it? I mean, look, who's taking over the Letterman show? I don't know. I don't watch the Letterman show. I don't know. But whoever's taking over the Letterman show, they're going to have their own set. They're going to need room. What are they supposed to do with David Letterman's set? But somebody said, no, the set, it should go, the David Letterman set is what she's referring to. It should go to the Smithsonian, not to the dumpster. Now, a bunch of many, many, many Late Show lovers successfully snagged a keepsake from the theater dumpster that overflowed with red audience seats and bits of the bridges that made up the set behind Letterman's desk. I never really paid attention to all of that. But more than a dozen fans waited for the workers in security to clear out Thursday evening before descending on the talk show trash like vultures. And I'm sure some of them, you will probably see some of that stuff end up on eBay. Yeah, don't doubt me. And if I cared enough, I'd probably do a search for it right now, but I don't care really that much. So if you want to search, go ahead and keep track of it. David Letterman set pieces go. They'll probably make a pretty penny off of it. I don't really care that much. I'm not that big of I'm not a Dave Letterman fan at all, actually. I didn't watch a lot of those late shows. I didn't watch, you know, Johnny Carson and Jay Leno, and I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel. And I don't watch David Letterman and Conan O'Brien. Whatever happened to Conan O'Brien? He's still around. I don't know. I don't know if he's around. But anyway, didn't watch Conan. Well, who are some of the others out there? I know you got the fake news people out there. I could care less that they're gone too. I don't know. I don't watch them. I got more important things to do. And there's better programming to watch than them. I just never, and you know, after the original, well, after the Eddie Murphy era, Saturday Night Live, I never really watched Saturday Night Live either. You know, the second crew came and went, and I just lost interest in Saturday Night Live, and I would hate to see if the Saturday Night Live ever decided to call it quits, what they would do, and what they did to that set, what people would think or say. Can you imagine? You say, oh, this is an iconic television set, but you can't get rid of the Saturday Night Live set. It belongs in the Smithsonian. You know what they should do? They should, you know what? David Letterman should have gone out there and solicited donations for a David Letterman library. You know, just like a president. No, the presidential library, the late show, whatever library. They should have had, hey, Dave, well, you know, maybe people will bring back some of that stuff now if you ask him too nicely. But there should be a David Letterman, you know, library. There you go. There's my contribution to late night entertainment, like, I guess, TV funny men. David Letterman, you should have a library. I'm sure there's probably a parcel, so a piece of tiny, it doesn't have to be that big. It could be, you know, it could be the size of your set. You know, it doesn't have to be all that huge. People would probably still pay a nice, you know, a good 10 or 15 bucks per ticket just to enter. So it could be a moneymaker for you, Dave. Just saying. You should really consider opening up a David Letterman library. Just saying, it doesn't have to be big. It could be, you know, down in Chinatown or something like that, where the rent's a little bit lower. And you know, you don't have to have a big space, you know, maybe 1500, 2000 square feet will do you. I'm just saying. There's an idea. Hey, a quarter of Obamacare enrollees say that the law hurt them, even those with government subsidies. So says a survey. And it's a story from the Washington Times. And it's really kind of interesting that they would, that people would even consider and say that they're having troubles with Obamacare. They don't like it. It doesn't help them. And, well, you know, I guess you just have to, it has a lot to do with a number of different issues when it comes to Obamacare. It includes the deductibles. It includes the co-pays. It includes whether or not the premiums. It includes a bunch of different things that these people are finding it to be problems for, you know, the affordability of it. That is the biggest thing. You know, remember, we were told that this is supposed to be affordable. So more than a quarter of Obamacare enrollees say they've been negatively affected by the new law, according to a study released Thursday that finds deeply partisan views of the 2010 overhaul persist. Yeah. Now, the Kaiser Family Foundation said 27% of people with plans from the law's marketplace felt worse off, while 53% said that they had benefited. Now, I don't know how 53% are saying that they benefited if their premiums have gone up and their deductibles have gone up. Now, the numbers change little when the survey isolated people who received government subsidies to help them pay for coverage. There's a difference. With 57% saying that they benefited and 25% still holding a negative view. Government subsidies. Well, no, there was a big change, actually. It went from 53% to 57%. There's a 4 points there, swing. But on the other end, 27% to 25%, there's a 2% drop. 2 points drop. That's hey, giving money away helps a lot of people, I guess. So the findings were part of an extensive study on people in the non-group market, or people who got insurance on their own, either on an Obamacare exchange or the open market and not through a job or public program. So it just coming through the exchange is what they were talking about. People who got it on their own. So if you're out there, you know, and you need a subsidy, then you probably want to go the government route, the Obamacare exchange, and in order to get yourself taken care of, as it were. You know, take care of your medical needs via the government, and let the government pay for, at least subsidize a portion of it, and you will be fine. You know, people were always talk about. Here, let me just go ahead and this story here from Great Britain. Yeah, there's two stories here, by the way, on illegal immigration. I got two stories here. One from Great Britain and one from the land down under, mate. Australia. We'll take the let's take the British one first. You got Cameron, British Prime Minister Cameron proposes to seize wages of illegal immigrants in Britain. Yeah, that's right. British Prime Minister David Cameron yesterday announced a proposal to seize the wages of immigrants in the country illegally, treating the money as criminal proceeds as part of a crackdown designed to reduce immigration to Britain. Grand idea. If you don't get to profit from it, why would you try to do it? But you got the lefties out there saying, no, yeah, what Cameron is trying to do is partly to appease the right wingers in his party, for whom Europe is bad enough, but foreigner is even worse. Really? So all these countries that are now having problems with illegal immigrants, and Cameron is deciding, well, we're going to take a stand. That's bad. Europe thinks that's bad. They're having problems themselves. A lot of European nations are having problems with foreigners coming in and trying to change things within their. I mean, look, you're talking about white bread countries like Sweden and Finland and Denmark and countries like that. Well, you know, the whole course of what they believe is being changed because they're allowing too many immigrants to come in. A lot of times they're illegal and they're staying and they're finding a ways of being, you know, staying and causing some severe damage. And especially when you start talking Middle Eastern people that are of the Islamic faith, now they're causing all kinds of havoc. So Cameron is like, well, you know, it's been too easy to work illegally and employ illegal workers here in England. And it's the same thing here in the United States. Can you imagine if we actually decided, okay, you know, this is what we should do here in the U.S. when it comes to illegal immigration. Here's how we handle it. And this goes for Hillary Clinton, too, who's hired an illegal to work on her presidential campaign. Here's what you do. You make sure that you seize every asset that person has in the United States. Take it all. And you kick them out. And then for those people who employed them, you find them the equivalent of what they paid that person. And hey, guess what? You pay that guy over the past year $20,000, your fine is $20,000. But I paid him $20,000. Yeah, we got that $20,000. Now you're going to pay another $20,000. And let me tell you something. People will stop hiring illegals like that. When you start holding both sides accountable, you're not going to have any problems. People are going to start saying, nope, go away. And if they got jobs illegally using fake IDs or what have you, then you fine that illegal person even more. You see, you'll never collect it, right? You take every last thing they own. Because after all, if you're a drug dealer, if you're a suspected drug dealer, you know, we've got laws that force you to forfeit many of your assets because they believe that you got them from illegal drug sales, right? So how is it that a pot dealer or a methamphetamine dealer or a Coke dealer can lose their Lamborghini, but an illegal immigrant who can do just as much damage or far more damage doesn't lose anything. And maybe they'll get deported. No. I say that if you're caught here illegally, there is no asylum. You know what? If you need asylum, you better tell us right up front. You know, go to the border, say, I'm seeking asylum. We'll try to take care of you then. But don't come across the border, sneak across the border illegally, be here for years and years, and then decide, okay, no, I need asylum. No, it doesn't work that way. Shipping your butt back to where you came from. And if you actually made a living here, if you were able to create an income here, we seize everything. Everything that, if you came across the border with a suitcase illegally, or with a suitcase, and you go back with that suitcase. If you came here illegally with nothing but the clothes on your back, you go back home with nothing but the clothes on your back. I know it sounds harsh to some people, and they even sound inhuman, but look, in order to preserve your own nation and make sure that people in foreign lands understand that there is a right way and a wrong way to come here, and if you break our law, there is punishment for it. You're going to be punished severely, just as if you were to enter their country illegally. They try to enter Mexico illegally and see how far you get if you get caught. If you don't get shot, you're going to end up in jail. And then once you get out of jail, if you survive jail, you're going to be immediately dropped off at the border. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. There is no asylum. I'm singing asylum, man, because the United States sucks. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, gringo, go back home. That's what would happen. So why do we have to be different? Well, you know, Karen's saying, no, we got some problems here with this kind of stuff. So I'm going to propose a way to put a cap on this and get a handle on this, because it's costing Britons a lot of money for illegals. Even Australians have decided to crack down on, well, this is actually a story. I'm sorry. I misspoke. This is a story about Australians cracking down on other things, again, that are problems for the Australian people. And as England or Britain is trying to grapple with its issues of illegal immigration, you know, and Cameron wants to get tough with them, Australia has other issues. And that's Australian-born jihadis. Now, a lot of people here think that the United States should do what Australia is about to do. And I think that's probably a good idea. Look, because if you're out there in the battlefield and fighting against your own country, either you're a traitor or you might as well not be a citizen. We should assume that you've renounced your citizenship to the United States. Therefore, we don't have to worry about hitting you with a drone. We'll just take you out. But here's what the Australians are going to do, plan to do. Australia to strip citizenship of Australian-born jihadis. Plan to adopt British legal model for children of immigrants. Now, Australia plans to strip citizenship from Australian-born children of immigrants who become fighters for the militant group Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. It's a crackdown on homegrown jihadis, a minister said. The government wants to change the Citizenship Act to make fighting for ISIS a reason for losing citizenship. The government also wants to adopt a British legal model by revoking the citizenship of extremists who are Australian-born children of immigrants, or an immigrant forcing them to take up citizenship in the birth country of their parents or parent. In other words, Australia is saying, you know, we've had enough of this bullcrap. You want to come here, and but you still want to be like you're over there? Well, then you better go over there, because we're going to strip you of your citizenship here. And your kids, too. You know, it's kind of like, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, Toto, too. Again, beautiful idea. If you're here, United States, and, you know, you're caught being an extremist like this, even in this country where you have freedom of speech, If you're caught being an extremist, kick your butt out. If you know, strip you and your kids of the of naturalized citizenship and say, hey, look, you came from Syria, you came from Iran. Yeah, your kids are now Iranian citizens. They're not citizens there anymore. Get the hell out. Goodbye. Don't want to see you again. Plain and simple. Not a problem. I don't have a problem with doing something like that. Look, we've got, it's not changing who we are by protecting our own, folks. But if you allow people to come here who want to do us harm and then start changing the way we live and who we are and the way we are, that's no fun. That's not right. That's not the way things are supposed to be. That's not the way that the founding fathers, believed things should be. It's just not the way things are done. So, yeah, I agree. You know, shut them down, kick them out. Yeah, that should be the new mantra. Shut them down, kick them out. Shut them down, kick them out. Shut them down, kick them out. Not hard. It really, you know, some people say, well, you can't do that, right? It's not hard at all. Look, if the NSA can keep track of all our phone records, I'm sure they can keep track of all the illegals out there. You know, well, they can't keep track of all the jihadis. Why not? We're not trying hard enough then. You know, if we can start tracking people, you know, on their cars, you know, how many miles they drive every month and every year and where they're driving to, then we should be able to keep track of jihadis. You know, anybody who comes in from the Middle East or from a suspected terrorist-filled area, maybe they should be forced to wear a tracker every time, you know, where, as long as they're in the United States. Look, they're not citizens. They don't get the same protections we do. You want to come here? You're coming from a dangerous country or a dangerous place? We got to keep track of you, Jack. And this is how we're going to keep track of you. We are going to, you know, you're going to have to be monitored. And we're going to follow you everywhere you go. Everywhere. Don't get upset. We're just going to follow you everywhere. Look, if we're going to keep track of citizens, you know, we might as well. Why can't we keep track of foreigners? And for those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Real End, a foreigner is my way of pronouncing, in a funny way, foreigner. Now, somebody's probably going to say, foreigner? What's a foreigner? Isn't that a plant? Hey, Ethel, isn't a foreigner a type of plant? it is. It's people, a foreigner. I just like to play around and say foreigner. It's Friday. Speaking of Friday, we're coming to the end of our broadcast week, as well as the broadcast period for tonight. We'll be back here on Tuesday, folks. Until then, have a great, safe, happy Memorial Day weekend. See you on Tuesday. I'm Rod Echols, the Rod Echols Show. I'm out.